Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum, and welcome to the mid morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Yusuf, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. It's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning here in Lanesia. Today being the 3rd of Safar 1447, corresponding to Tuesday the 29th of July 2025. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful day indeed. And inshallah, we're going to be speaking about the topic that we're going to talk about is suspicion. And in today's day and age, you know, it's very ripe and very prominent that, you know, people have this suspicion and doubt. You know, it's a very bad or very harmful disease that is in the heart of people, that you're always suspecting somebody of doing something. And we should never have that suspicion in our heart, because we don't know the exact truth as to what is happening. You know, we can't just point a finger and say, you know what, this person did this year, this person did that there. It's wrong in every way, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that we should avoid suspicion at all costs, because suspicion is the worst lie. In a world of information where overload and quick judgments are very common, yes, it's very, very common to quickly judge somebody by their appearance. You know, you look at somebody and say, you know what, this is that type of person, and he's just like this here, or you got no money, or you come from a poor background, and this and that, you know. So you must never, ever think of anybody in that way. And it's so easy to fall into the trap of assuming the worst of others, but Islam teaches us to guard our hearts. We should guard our hearts. We should guard our hearts against the baseless suspicion, and we should also recognize its destructive potential for both the individuals and the community. Because once we suspect somebody, or we make a rumor of somebody that did something in a community, and you know, when news or rumors are spread, it spreads like wildfire, and the poor person doesn't know what to do, because now it's his word against the whole community and the whole world, and now we don't know, and that person doesn't know what to do and what to say and how to prove himself. Now the word is spread around, and especially in, you know, in small knit communities, you know, when something's been said, and it goes from one person to the next person to the next person, and then by the end of it, you got a whole pot of biryani, you know. So it creates a bad impression for somebody, unless you know the truth as to what is happening. Then don't go and make a rumor or suspect without confronting the person and asking them, listen, is this true, yes or no? That's the only way we'll be able to know what's the real truth behind everything. Because you must always know, people can come up with stories, and you know, it is so detrimental. It can ruin a person's izzat. It can ruin a person's life. And you know, some people, they don't even want to go out after hearing things about what has been said about them, you know. And when they walk on the street or walk on the road, they're like, you know what, people will start pointing and start speaking under their armpits and start murmuring things. And you know, that is not right in any way, in any form. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, in Surah Hujarat, verse number 12, that, O you who believe, avoid much negative assumption. For indeed, assumption is a sin. And do not spy on one another or backbite on each other. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother when he is dead? You would detest it and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is accepting of repentance and merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that avoid suspicion, because it's a worse lie. And backbiting, making ghibat, carrying tales, is as though you are eating the flesh of your own Muslim brother. Now look at that, subhanallah. Imagine, we think it's a small and minute thing, but Allah ta'ala is clearly stating in the Noble Quran that do not backbite, do not suspect, or do not create, or do not make be suspicious of one person, for suspicion is a worse lie, and Allah Ta'ala detests suspicion. So let's understand, we all know that it's dangerous, but let us divulge and let us see, why is it so dangerous? Why is the sin so dangerous of suspicion? I was listening to a khutbah some time back, and one of the 10 diseases of the heart is suspicion. It's a sin of our heart that begins, it begins in our heart, and it starts creating this negative thoughts or negative images or negative feelings. We will say negative feelings in the heart, you know, and it starts filling it in and starts becoming polluted with all these negative thoughts. And you start having this ill feeling towards your next Muslim brother. Rather, instead of trying to find out, go up to him and ask him, listen, I heard this and I just want to clarify, is this true? Go up to the person, ask him straight up, listen, is this true what I heard? The person will tell you and give you the whole story. But you mustn't listen to other people when they create a story about the next person. Rather be straight up and go and ask the person. And the suspicion breaks bonds in communities, especially in communities, because that person could have been a very well-known person, you know, who looked up to, as you know, a very decent, very honest, trustworthy. Now, when somebody comes up with a white lie or a small lie, you know, but a lie is a lie. It's wrong end of the day. And when that rumor starts spreading, then the community will start detesting him. They'll start looking at that person with a different eye. And suspicion erodes trust within the ummah. We as an ummah are supposed to be closely knitted, united. Because if one part of the ummah is hurt, one part of the ummah bleeds, the whole ummah feels it. Look at it, our brothers and sisters that are suffering in Gaza. Humanitarian aid is not even coming in. They are starving. The apartheid Israelis are using the starvation method and with the genocidal war. They're using a method of starvation and they're killing, not physically with the armor or the ammunition, but rather starvation. Nutrition, babies, small children, elderly are dying, are passing away. Why? Because of the starvation. They are depriving them of food aid. They're cutting off all water supplies, food supplies. And look at that now. I just moved away because we were saying about the ummah being a one body, one net body. Now, if we suspect our next Muslim brother of doing something, now aren't we breaking that bond within our community? Are we not disrupting the community? And because, you know, it spreads. And even when it comes to families, you know, if you got an issue with a certain family member, go up to the person, ask them, listen, this is what I heard. I come to you in private and I ask you, is this true? Yes or no? And then you can get your answer from there and you can stop that suspicion right there. You can stop that rumor right there. And when we talk about injustice, baseless suspicion is a form of injustice, and against a person's honor, like I said earlier, with regard to the person, is it an honor? We are judging that person without any knowledge, without any, without knowing the facts, but we are just listening by hearsay of what the next person, maybe somebody might have told you, hey, you know what, I heard this about this and that there. And you will believe it, but rather go up to the person and ask them. No, you rather listen to the person because you trust the person more than the person that has been said. And when we carry these negative suspicion, you always now. When you hear it from one person, then you're going to tell it to the next person. Now, that thought is sitting with you in your head, because you don't know whether that person, when they find out, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, why you said this about me? Who told you? Unnecessary issue, unnecessary drama. And we shouldn't carry tales. If a person tells you something, you stop, you put an end to it there. You don't go and tell the next person. It's not our duty. We are nobody to tell anybody anything about the next person. It's like making ghibah. And imagine eating the flesh of your own Muslim brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further warned us that beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the falseness of speech, and do not spy and do not compete with another. Do not compete with another, and do not envy another, and do not hate on one another, or do not turn away from another. And O slaves of Allah, brothers, and be slaves of Allah, and be brothers. This is stated in Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith clearly states or links suspicion to the destruction of behavior that prevents us from being true brothers and sisters in Islam. We should always look out for one another and rather not go and disrupt or try to break a person's izzat and honor. We should try and uplift our Muslim brothers, our Muslim sisters. We should try and help them in every way, in every form. Even if they are going down, if they are in a bad situation, go up to them. If you find out they're in a bad situation, go to them, ask them, boy, are you okay? Is everything okay at home? In that way, the person will feel loved. The person will feel helpful. That, you know what, my Muslim brother, my neighbor, has come to me and asked me, he's worried about me. Instead of going and backbiting and talking about other people, we rather go and look out at our Muslim, even if we're within our family. See who is doing okay. If somebody is going down, if somebody is going through something emotionally, they got stress, they got anxiety, they got worries, parishan, whatever it is, go up to them. They might not open up to you, but just have a casual conversation, and how much, you won't believe how much you'll be able to open up and get from them. And as you know, we started last week with our Riyadh al-Salihin and with our beloved Mulana Zaid Khan. So inshallah, Mulana is going to join us for the Hadith program. And inshallah, we're going to go for a break. And when we return, Mulana Zaid will continue with the Riyadh al-Salihin. If you have any questions, and don't forget our Bliss of Marriage program from 11 to 12. With Mulana Zaid Khan and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, and that is the Bliss of Marriage. So you can send in your questions, inshallah, on the numbers 084-786-3132, international and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. So inshallah, we're going to go for a small nasheed break.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
ختم رسول شاہ رسول شاہ انبیاء شاہ مدینہ شاہ مدینہ چمکا دے میرا دل دل چمکا دے میرا دل چمکا دے چمکا دے میرا دل چمکا دے چمکا دے میرا دل یا رسول اللہ چمکا دے میرا دل चमक तुझसे पाते हैं सब पाने वाले, चमक तुझसे पाते हैं सब पाने वाले। आग भी चमका दे चमकाने वाले, मेरा दिल भी चमका दे चमकाने वाले। बरसता नहीं देख कर अब रे रहमत, बरसता नहीं देख कर अब रे रहमत, बदों पर भी बरसा दे बरसाने वाले, बदों पर भी बरसा दे बरसाने वाले। सरकार सुनते हैं सरे आई न सुनते हैं, बसे दीवार सुनते हैं। तू जिंदा है वल्ला, तू जिंदा है वल्ला, तू जिंदा है वल्ला, तू जिंदा है वल्ला, जिंदा है वल्ला, तू 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 जिंदा है वल्ला। मेरे चश्मे आलम से छुप जाने वाले, मेरे चश्मे आलम से छुप जाने वाले।
चमकाने वाले मैं मुजरिम हूँ आका, मुझे साथ ले लो। मैं मुजरिम हूँ आका, मुझे साथ ले लो। के रास्ते में है जा बजा थाने वाले, के रास्ते में है।
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
It's gone 25 minutes to 11 Central African Time, and this is where we have our segment with Maulana Zahid Khan, and Maulana will be giving us pertinent advices from Riyadh al-Salihin. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum ala khairan.
Barakallahu feek. Maulana, it's so nice to see you and giving our listeners some pearls of advices from Riyadh al-Salihin. Inshallah, you're going to continue now until 5 to 11, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Jazakum
ala khairan for the opportunity. Continuing with our hadith, alhamdulillah, we've come to this hadith, hadith 518. Riyadh al-Salihin, and in this chapter we are focusing on simplicity, and this is something that is important in today's times. Just a message from one of the listeners or one of our friends recently, and they said, can you please address this particular topic? And I did say that I think once myself and Brother Suleiman a while back we did address it as well at our janazas And this is at the house, the Mayit house. What's happening there? It's turned into parties. And instead of helping and assisting those who are going through a difficult time, what happens is we are just going through so much of parties, worldly talks, and the rest. What's the cure? What's the cause? The cause is our love for this worldly life. And what's the cure? It is simplicity, going back to simplicity. Serving the purpose, assisting where you can, and not causing more harm or more difficulty on those whom they have lost someone that is close to them. Nonetheless, simplicity is the chapter's name, and we are here at Hadith 518. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In this particular hadith, just a summary of it, it's a bit of a lengthy hadith. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would survive just on licking dates. And this was going in the battlefield. Can you imagine the levels of hunger? And this would suffice for them. So let's go through the hadith. Hadith 518. وعن أبي عبد الله جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال بعثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو عبد الله جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه narrates that Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم say صلى الله عليه وسلم wherever you may be, and this will be beneficial for you. 10 times your status will be raised, 10 sins of yours will be erased, and furthermore 10 rewards on your name. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent us. Who's saying this? Abu Abdullah, Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. Wa ammara alayna Aba Ubaidata radiallahu anhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu the Amir. Natalaqqa iran li Qurayshin. And he sent us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent us on this expedition to pursue a caravan of the Quraysh. And you know, this was the tactique from then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's vision. And you can see till today how it serves. You'll find Yemen, they're blocking now ships and anything that is going towards the Israeli ports, they are seeking to destroy it. So this is one tactique to financially weaken them. This is what you call boycotting. It does have emphasis in it, and it does have its weight in weakening the kuffar. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent them to pursue a caravan of the Quraysh. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu is the Amir. Wazawwadana jirabam min tamrin. Who's saying this? Abu Abdullah, Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He's saying, Wazawwadana jirabam min tamrin. Lam yajid lana ghayrahu. As provision for the journey, he gave us a sack of dates, which was all that he could find. فَكَانَ أَبُو أُبَيْدَةَ يُعْتِينَا تَمْرَةً تَمْرَةً. And he would give us date by date, date by date. One date for per person. فَقِيلَ. It was said, كَيْفَ كُنْتُمْ تَسْنَعُونَ بِهَا. What would you do with one date? What would you do with it? قَالْ نَمَسُّهَا كَمَا يَمَسُّ الصَّبْيُ. We would lick it just how an infant suckles. That is how we would lick the dates, just to gain some nourishment. As when a baby is born, you give them tahniq. Tahniq is that where you give it to a pious person, and then they lick it, or just take a bite from it, and then this you place in the child's mouth because you want the effects of piety of the Sadiqeen, which Allah Azawajal speaks about in verse 119, Surah At-Tawbah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. O people of Iman, develop your taqwa. Fear Allah and wakunu ma'as Sadiqeen, and be with the truthful. This is the way you will develop that taqwa. So they would lick this and suck on this date just the way a baby, an infant, would suckle. ثُمَّ نَشْرَبُ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. And then we would then drink some water. فَتَكْفِينَا يَوْمَنَا إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. This would suffice for us in our day up until the night. وَكُنَّا نَضْرِبُ بِعِسِيِّنَا الْخَبَطَ. Here it is mentioned, we would also knock leaves. وَكُنَّا نَضْرِبُ بِعِسِيِّنَا بِعِسِيِّنَا, this is with our sticks. الْخَبَطَ, and these were leaves, we would knock off leaves. ثُمَّ نَبُلُّهُ بِالْمَاءِ فَنَأْكُلُهُ, then we would take this and we would eat it. We would knock them, these leaves, we would soften it with water and then we would eat it. قال وَانْتَلَقْنَا عَلَى سَاحِلِ الْبَحْرِ, upon occasion we continued walking along the coast until فَرُفِعَ لَنَا عَلَى سَاحِلِ الْبَحْرِ كَهَيْئَةِ الْكَثِيبِ الضَّخْمِ, and we walked along the coast until something huge like a hill of sand appeared before us on the coast. When we reached there, فَأَتَيْنَاهُ, when we reached there, فَإِذَا هِيَ دَابَّةٌ تُدْعَى الْأَمْبَرِ, when we reached there, all of a sudden, there was this animal, تُدْعَى الْأَمْبَرِ, it is called and it is known as Ambar. فَقَالَ أَبُو عُبَيْدَةَ مَيْتَ, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu's damir, he said Maita, this you cannot eat, this is Maita, meaning carrion. So carrying on, ثُمَّ قَال, it was said, ثُمَّ قَال, then he said, لَا بَلْ نَحْنُ رُسُلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَرِضْ تُرِرْتُمْ فَكُلُوا فَقَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَهْرًا. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu then said, no, but we are the messengers of the messenger. رُسُلُ رُسُلِ اللَّهِ, رُسُلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, we are the messengers of the messenger of Allah. وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and we are out in the path of Allah. وَقَرِضْ تُرِرْتُمْ, and you are in this constrained, straitened condition. You are compelled by necessity. So therefore, فَكُلُوا, you can eat it. فَقَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَهْرًا, we stayed by it, we ate of it for one entire month. Al-Ambar was this huge animal. So then, وَنَحْنُ ثَلَاثُ مِئَةٍ حَتَّى سَمِنَّا, we were 300 in number until we grew fat. حَتَّى سَمِنَّا, we grew fat. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا نَغْتَرِفُ مِنْ وَقْبِ عَيْنِهِ بِالْقِلَالِ الدُّحْنَى وَنَقْتَعُ مِنْهُ الْفِدَرَ كَالثَّوْرِ أَوْ كَقَدْرِ الثَّوْرِ. Abu Baydar, in fact, was the Amir, and Jabir radiallahu anhu is mentioning here to us that we remember and we recall that scooping out jugs of fat, they were scooping out jugs of fat from its eye socket. Today you can go and see the discussion yourself. They always brainwashed us to think that, why do we eat fat? It's something that is not good for us. But when you see the benefits of fat in our meat, we tend to separate it and put it one side. But this is beneficial for your body. I recall this recently when it was Eid al-Adha. Normally we give the fat away. But this Eid al-Adha, we said, everyone was now, they had their gaze on that fat. And how much we just give away, not it's beneficial to give away, but we give away not realizing its importance. That is why we're giving it away. It's not because we're being generous. We're being generous, but also we don't eat it. That's why. But when you realize the benefits of it, then you wouldn't want to just give it away. And when you do give it away, you'll know you gave away something that was good. So, Jabir radiallahu anhu is saying that we were taking out this fat from its eye socket and cutting out pieces the size of an ox or similar to the size of an ox. This is how big this animal, Al-Ambar, was. See, they sacrificed initially, but see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up for them. So then the hadith continues. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا, this was رَأَيْتُنَا نَغْتَرِفُ مِنْ وَقْبِ عَيْنِهِ بِالْقِلَالِ الدُّحْنَى وَنَقْتَعُ مِنْهُ الْفِدَرَ كَالثَّوْرِ أَوْ كَقَدْرِ الثَّوْرِ. A thawr means that ox. Then he says, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ مِنَّا أَبُو عُبَيْدَةَ ثَلَاثَةَ عَشَرَ رَجُلًا. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he took about 13 of us. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, took 13 of us, and then he took us فَأَقْعَدَهُمْ فِي وَقْبِ عَيْنِهِ, and he made us sit in its eye socket. This is how big the eye socket was. He took 13 of us. It's like an excursion. And they are now checking out this big, huge animal. 13 of them sitting in a eye socket. Further, the hadith continues, and وَأَخَذَ دِلْعًا مِّنْ أَضْلَاعِهِ, and then we took one of its ribs. We took one of its ribs and held it up. We took a rib, we held it up. وَأَخَذَ دِلْعًا مِّنْ أَضْلَاعِهِ فَأَقَامَهَا, we made it stand up. ثُمَّ رَحَلَ أَعْظَمَ بَعِيرٍ مَعَنَا فَمَرَّ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا وَتَزَوَّدَنَا مِنْ لَحْمِهِ وَشَقَائِقِ فَأَقَامَهَا ثُمَّ رَحَلَ أَعْظَمَ بَعِيرٍ مَعَنَا فَمَرَّ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا. We took this rib, we made it stand up, and what happened was a camel, the biggest camel we had, we made it walk beneath it. That's how big the rib was. The biggest camel, we made it walk beneath it. We took along with us, here it says, وَتَزَوَّدْنَا مِنْ لَحْمِهِ وَشَقَائِقَ, we took with us its meat and strips of dried meat, what you call biltong today, as provision for the journey. When we were out in 4 months, alhamdulillah, the tawfiq of Allah, then what happened was, I found my one friend. Now, you know, you think you're out in the path of Allah and you become so generous, whatever stocks you have, first 40 days it's done. Next 40 days, you see everyone is now saving and the rest. So I caught one of my friends, he was eating a piece of biltong. So I said, now, where did you get this from? I thought your stocks are finished. He said, no, this I keep. I have to have a piece of meat every day. So this is biltong, what you say. And if you know, the pious, after they slaughter Eid al-Adha time, then they make certain meat into biltong and they eat this throughout the year. So they would, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, would do this so that they can have something to eat along the journey. وَتَزَوَّدْنَا مِنْ لَحْمِهِ وَشَقَائِقَ فَلَمَّا قَدِمْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ أَتَيْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. So when we got to Medina Munawwara, we went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَذَكَرْنَا ذَلِكَ لَهُ. We mentioned this whole incident to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقَالْ وَرِزْقٌ أَخْرَجَهُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. This is sustenance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has extracted for you. This is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving them comfort that don't stress, this was what you have been provided has been provided for you from Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statement, once he says something, then who is there to then say anything else? It was a provision which Allah Azza wa Jal has provided for you. And then to make them feel even more comfortable, فَهَلْ مَعَكُمْ مِنْ لَحْمِي شَيْءٌ فَتُطْعِمُونَا. Do you have any of it, any of its meat left, so that you can feed us with it? فَتُطْعِمُونَا, so we can also engage in this year, we can also have some of it tasted, which you can feed us with. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْهُ, and we sent for Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَأَكَلَهُ, and Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم then ate from this year. So what lessons do we derive from this year? The lesson we derive is the initial sacrifices, and then how Allah Azza wa Jal opened up for these mujahideen. Like this, we make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal that all our mujahideen, all our Palestinians, all our people of Gaza who are starving, and they are made to starve. If they are going to stand in a queue for food, then they are being shot at. And now you can see even people who are known to be cruel, they also can't stand these sights and images that are coming out. But ideally so, we are hoping and making it such that we have just, not ideally so, we cannot say ideally so for that, but it seems like there's no focus on Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm hoping, waiting for some leader, some kuffar leader to say enough is enough now. When are we going to say enough is enough? When are we going to make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal? When are we going to say that, Ya Allah, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Rahim, we need help and assistance, turning to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, putting our full reliance on Allah. This is what the noble Sahaba radiallahu anhum did, and see how Allah opened up for them. This huge animal, 300 ate from it and they became fat. And this was for a month. If you go and see the animals that are discovered in the ocean, you'll find that there are large animals. Recently also we saw articles of this nature. Largest fish ever spotted in the ocean, the biggest fish in the ocean, and you can find it. They do have this, and times it is at the banks of the ocean they find this here. So you have to still see, is it a shark, what kind of sheep is, what kind of animal is it, so that whether you can eat it or you cannot eat it. We've come to the end of this particular lesson, Hadith 518. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, put us onto the straight path, the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. And we appeal to our Muslimin. There are people suffering in Sudan, the rest. We are not here for collections, but we are here to say, make dua for them. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
ختم رسول شاہ رسول شاہ انبیاء شاہ مدینہ شاہ مدینہ چمکا دے میرا دل دل چمکا دے میرا دل چمکا دے چمکا دے میرا دل چمکا دے چمکا دے میرا دل یا رسول اللہ چمکا دے میرا دل چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے برستا نہیں دیکھ کر اب رحمت برستا نہیں دیکھ کر اب رحمت بدوں پر بھی برسا دے برسانے والے بدوں پر بھی برسا دے برسانے والے نور والے آقا میرا لے آقا نور والے آقا والے آقا تو زندہ ہے واللہ بل تو زندہ ہے واللہ بل تو زندہ ہے واللہ بل تو زندہ جہاں بھی ہو وہی سے دو صدا سرکار سنتے ہیں سر آئینہ سنتے ہیں پس دیوار سنتے ہیں بل تو زندہ ہے واللہ بل تو زندہ ہے واللہ تو زندہ ہے واللہ بل تو زندہ ہے واللہ زندہ ہے واللہ تو زندہ ہے واللہ تو زندہ ہے واللہ تو زندہ ہے واللہ تو زندہ ہے واللہ میرے چشم عالم سے چھپ جانے والے میرے چشم عالم سے چھپ جانے والے چمکا دے چمکانے والے mera dil bhi chamka de chamkane wale main mujrim hoon aqa mujhe saath le lo mere mujrim hoon aqa mujhe saath le lo ke raste mein hai ja baja thane wale
And that was our beloved Maulana Zaid Khan giving us pertinent advices from Riyadh Salihin. It's 3 minutes to 11 Central African time. Let me give you the rundown for the shows that are to follow. At 11 a.m. will be the news with Maulana Zaid Khan. Thereafter, 11 to 12 will be the bliss of marriage with Maulana Zaid Khan and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. 12 o'clock will be the news with myself. Then 5 past 12 to 1, to 5 to 1 will be Alfas and Kosi with the news hour. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 past 1 to 1:30 will be the Tafsir of the Surah Tawbah. Thereafter, 1:30 to 2 will be the repeat of the Tafsir from the archives. 2 to 3 will be Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A and Nasiha by Maulana Musa Akwadi. 4 to 5 will be an Urdu lecture. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the Tafsir you will hear at 1 to 1:30. Then at 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Dawood Sidak with the Nasiha, inshallah. And then... And that's your lineup until 8 p.m. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Yusuf, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
من البهو هل تجري عن هباء المطر القصير